إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 7th session, and close to the end of our reading from Maqasid al-Hajj, the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, yani those things which one should be striving to achieve during the performance of Hajj, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our topic tonight, hopefully, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will be two of the points that the Shaykh mentioned, the first of them being remembering the Akhirah, yani thinking about and keeping in mind the hereafter and remembering the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the first topic. And the second maqsad that the Shaykh mentions here, or 12th actually, the actualization or the implementation, establishment of the brotherhood that is based upon the deen, and al-khuwa al-diniya. Before we begin with our topic for tonight, we want to go back quickly and review some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 6. The first question being, list the first 10 maqasid, goals or objectives of Hajj, in the order mentioned by the author. So we can share in this question, since it is a bit much, right? If somebody can give us the first one, or the second one, the third one, naam. Anybody remember the first of the goals and objectives that the Shaykh mentioned? Musa. Tahqiq al-Tawheed. First goal or objective of Hajj. And we said, and we repeat again and again and again, that indeed this is the first goal, the primary goal of every Muslim in our life. The establishment, the realization in our lives of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second one. Naam, Ahmed. Al-Fawz bi-Ridha Allah. Naam. That a person be successful in achieving the pleasure of Allah. That we should be seeking what? To achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is going for Hajj, or otherwise, doing any act of worship, and they should be seeking to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third one. Naam. Come back here. Tahqiq taqwa Allah. The establishment of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth one. Naam. Iqamatu dhikrillah. Meaning? Establishing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Fifth. Naam, Musa. Taqwiyatul iman. Strengthening one's iman. Yani whatever we do, we should always be examining the condition of our iman. We should be trying to do those things that strengthen iman, that increase iman, and be trying to avoid those things that weaken one's iman, or cause it to come down, to decrease. Naam. After this, what's that? Four, five? Five? That's five? Six. Naam. You with us? Naam. Fadl. Abu Bakr. Now, six. Ta'amik istijaba, al-istijaba, lillah. Meaning? Deepening. Yani the one's responsiveness.
Answering.
Yeah, answering, responding to Allah's call. Now, I'm sorry, Sheikh. Ismuk?
Muhammad.
Muhammad? Yeah, Muhammad. Isn't that Sheikh?
اتباع
الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, that a person what? Try to be conscious of and careful for establishing يعني, in their life the following strict adherence to following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, after that, Abu Sa'id. Witnessing the great benefits of Hajj. يعني, the, all types of benefits of Hajj, right? Witnessing the great benefits of Hajj. And after that? Huh? At-tadhkir bihal al-anbiya. Yani what?
Remembering
the state, the condition of the prophets. What was their condition? Yani this Hajj, certainly the things that we're doing in the Hajj reminds us of what was the condition of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, after this, now, what number are we on?
10?
نعم يعني opposing the مشركين يعني in their what? ضلالات and what? And their deeds and their actions يعني their misguidance and their actions their shirk and kufr and all that they're doing of corruption يعني opposing the way of the مشركين نعم خلاص for tonight huh? طيب. In any case, yani this is sort of a review, right? So we can try to remember some of the things that we have covered in the past. And also for someone who came, maybe they missed yani last week or before, they came for the first time, so they have an idea what we have been, some of the topics that we've been dealing with. Question number two, in what way did the Prophet ﷺ oppose the way of the mushrikeen in the talbiyah and mention their saying? Yani in what way did the Prophet oppose the way of the mushriks? Naam, fadl. In their talbiyah specifically. Naam. And he opposed them in the shirk that they were saying in their talbiyah. He opposed them. His talbiyah was what? Tawheed. Tawheed. That Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. And he opposed them in what they were doing, the shirk that they were mentioning in their talbiyah. And their saying was what? That, oh Allah, here I am at your command. You have no partner except a partner that what? He belongs to you. You possess him and that which he possesses. Yani a partner, you have a partner, but the partner belongs to you. Yani you don't have any partner, but you do have a partner. The partner that belongs to you, and you possess him and that which he possesses. Now, after this, question number four, discuss. Memorize the ayah in Surah 2, in the 12th Surah 106 ayah, which highlights the contradiction of the mushrikeen expressed in their talbiyah. Yani, what they were saying in their talbiyah ayah in the Quran that highlights this contradiction between Allah has no partner but He has a partner. Yani which ayat? And who memorized this ayat? Very, very important ayat. Very important ayat. Ya Allah. Naam, fadl. Naam, that most of them didn't believe in Allah. لا يؤمن أحدهم أكثرهم بالله. Yani most of them didn't believe in Allah except that they were mushrikun. Yani that they were making shirk. And if they believed in Allah like they believed what? In His rububiyyah. That He is the khaliq, raziq. But then they made shirk in the ubudiyyah. And they offered worship to others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number five. Mention what the one who strives to avoid imitation of the enemies of this deen will attain and what he will be saved from. What he will attain and what he will be saved from. The Shaykh mentioned here, yani, that the people who try to avoid tashabbuh bil kuffar, that they will attain, they will have to follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in doing so, okay, in avoiding tashabbuh bil kuffar, they will attain, huh? Feeling good about their deen, huh? But the Shaykh mentioned two things specifically here. Now, rida, ورحمت, that they will attain, yani the people who strive to avoid imitation of the kuffar, they will earn Allah's pleasure. Allah will be pleased with them. And they will earn His rahmah. Naam. And they will, yani, punishment. They will be saved from the anger of Allah and His punishment. Naam, Allah will not be angry with them because what? Because they're doing that which is pleasing to Him. So they will be saved from His anger and from His punishment. Question number 6, naam. We skip number 4? Okay, naam. Jazakallah khair. We're rushing a little bit. Allahu musta'an. Yani, today was a little bit difficult for us. You know, may Allah have mercy upon our brother Abdul Shakur, who we lost recently, and his sudden death. Allah have mercy upon him, pardon him, and overlook his shortcomings, and he make his grave spacious, and fill it with light, and protect and preserve his family. Ya Rabb. Naam. Yeah, pardon me a little bit, and it's been quite difficult. Question number 4. Discuss the Prophet ﷺ opposition to the mushrikeen as it relates to Umrah and leaving Arafah and Muzdalifah. Yani these three matters. How the Prophet ﷺ opposed the mushrikeen as it relates to Umrah and leaving from Arafah and Muzdalifah. Naam. The mushrikeen, they used to consider it as something very evil to make Umrah in the months of Hajj, in the time of Hajj. So the Prophet, he opposed them by doing what? Every Umrah that he made it in the months of Hajj. Naam. In opposition, mukhalifata lil mushrikeen. Naam. Abdul Wasi. Yeah, in leaving Arafah after sunset. What did the mushriks used to do? They used to leave before sunset. So the Prophet ﷺ said, we will leave after sunset. And as far as Muzdalifah, the mushriks, what did they used to do? They used to leave after the rising of the sun. So the Prophet ﷺ told us to do what? To leave before. To wait until the sky is bright. And just before sunrise, to leave for Muzdalifah in opposition, in contradiction to the way of the mushrikeen. And this was the way of the Prophet ﷺ in general, that he used to oppose the way of the disbelievers. And whatever that they used to do, he would do it differently. Naam. Question number 6. Memorize the hadith which warns us against imitation of the people before us. The people who came before us. That warns us against imitation of the people before us. And informs us that this imitation of the people before us will definitely occur. Naam. Naam, the Prophet ﷺ said, you would definitely follow the ways of the people before you, the nations before you. Such that, yani he said, yani he gave this description, shibran bi shibran, wadhira'an, meaning that hand span, arm span, whatever, yani span, what do you call this? Huh? Wind span? Yani with the arms outstretched, yani meaning that you will follow them even in the little things and in major things, in a small way and a great way. You follow them in everything, in the minute details of their deviation and corruption and filth, to the extent that if they entered the hole of a lizard, you would also enter it, yani in following them. And then the Shaykh discussed about the whole of the lizard, which shows that yani that even the most crooked and filthy and deviant way that they turn to, yani there will be some people from this ummah who will follow them. The question number 7, memorize the hadith which points to the reality that through imitation of a people you become one of them. That through imitation of a people you become one of them. Naam. Musa. Naam. The one who imitates a people, then he is one of them. he's one of them. And we said this hadith has a lot of discussion, and we say yani the meaning is general, although in some cases it's more specific, and he's one of them. You know, may even go to the extent in certain matters of imitation of kufar that leads to a person yani going out of Islam. Question number 9, in some cases. Question number eight, explain two of the main causes of the Muslims falling into imitation of the kuffar. Two of the main causes. Yani, the Shaykh talked about this a little bit in detail, and here, yani, he mentioned two things specifically. Now, ignorance, and the people distancing themselves from the deen. Yani, ignorance, people just don't know about Islam. Yani, the Muslims, who are Muslims but don't know anything about Islam. We don't know anything about Islam. And then distancing oneself from the deen. Yani, people not wanting to be identified with Islam. So they try to keep themselves far away in every way. Question number 9, explain what is intended by the hadith, a time will come upon the people in which hearts will be like the hearts of Al-A'ajim. Qulub Al-A'ajim. Yani, that a time will come upon the people in which the hearts will become like the hearts of Al-A'ajim. What is intended by this hadith? The hearts of Al-A'ajim. Naam, Abu Bakr. The A'ajim means the enemies of the deen of Allah, including Al-Yahud and the Nasara. And others besides Yahud and Nasara. Even not just Ahlul Kitab, but others other than them from the leaders of Al-Kufr wa Dalal. From the leaders. Yani, meaning that they are the Christians and they are the Jews and then there are the Kuffar, right? And some of them, they are the leaders of Kufr and the leaders of misguidance. And this is what it means, the hearts will be like the hearts of Al-Ajam, meaning it will be like the people's hearts. The Muslims' hearts will be like the hearts of the enemies of the deen of Allah. Will be like the hearts of Christians and Jews and the leaders of kufr and misguidance. Their hearts will be corrupted, will be polluted, will be deviated to that extent. There will come a time on the people when this will be the condition of the hearts of Muslims. Scary indeed. And we know that the heart, how important the heart is, how critical it is, such that the Prophet ﷺ said that what there's a piece of flesh in the heart, and if it's corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. And if it is whole and sound, then the whole body will sound. Is it not? It is what? The heart. And finally, list some of the causes of the hearts becoming the hearts of Al-A'ajim. Yani, what are some of the causes that cause the hearts to become like this? Some of the causes of it. Naam. Let's start with Ahmed, and then Abu Bakr, and then Abu Sa'id, if we still need some help. Okay, yani the effect of the outside interference from satellite channels and so on and so forth. Naam.
Naam.
One of the main causes is people having little understanding of the deen of Allah. People don't have knowledge or understanding. They have very little understanding and knowledge of the deen of Allah. And also, widespread ignorance. And love for the dunya is one of the main causes of this, yani, of what? The leaning of the people, leaning of the nafs towards tashabbuh bil kuffar. Yani, widespread ignorance, little knowledge and understanding, tafaqquh fi ad-deen, and then the inclination of the nafs, of the souls of the people being inclined to imitation of the kuffar, which comes from what? Love of the dunya and striving and seeking and struggling to accumulate it. Naam, Umar. And that is also a cause. Naam, and that comes under the Shaykh, what? The, yani, Adam Tafaqquh. How are you going to understand the deen? How will a person have understand the deen without, yani, their heart being attached to the Quran? Without reading the Quran, studying the Quran, memorizing the Quran, reflecting, pondering over the Quran and how it has been explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in and the Salaf of this Ummah, the scholars of Islam, of the Ahlul Sunnah, how they have explained the Quran, reading it, reflecting on it, memorizing and understanding it, not by our intellect, understanding it as it was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Salaf of this Ummah. Naam, the abandonment of the Quran, And just today, some of us, we were talking, some of the brothers, and we were saying, and you look at the condition of the Muslims, we have abandoned the Quran. And people don't even read the Quran, maybe only in Ramadan. Anyway, for the sake of time, let's quickly move on. And the first topic that we want to discuss tonight is Al-Maqsad Al-Hadi Ashara, the 11th goal or objective of Hajj. And again, I want to repeat that some of these objectives are not limited to the person performing Hajj. Rather, every Muslim is in need to make this as a goal or objective in our life. So he said, Al-Maqsad Al-Hadi Ashara, the 11th goal or objective, Tadhakkur Al-Akhirah. Yani, remembering the hereafter. Remembering the hereafter. Being reminded, reflecting upon, thinking of the reality of the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the second one that we want to discuss, the 12th, Tahqiq al-Ukhuwa al-Diniya. The realization, the achievement, the establishment of the Ukhuwa, the brotherhood that is based upon Deen. Al-Ukhuwa al-Diniya. Not the Ukhuwa that's based on blood. Nor the ukhuwah that's based on clubs, associations, groups, whatever, on the lower level of gangs or on the upper level of whatever they came with. Fraternities or whatever these people have in the universities and in their professional fields. Brotherhood based on the deen. Naam. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are brothers. Naam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. The Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. So our ukhuwa, it is based on iman and based on Islam. It's not based on tribalism, nationality, blood, color, language. It's only based upon iman and Islam. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into these pitfalls that we become attracted to and connected to and dedicated to, yani giving allegiance to someone because they are the same skin color, or they come from the same country, or the same tribe, or the same part of town, or the same city. Jahiliyyah. Naam. So, min maqasid al-hajj al-azimah, from the great, yani objectives or goals of hajj, is tadhakkur الآخرة والتذكر الوقوف بين يدي الله سبحانه وتعالى. Remembering, keeping in mind, thinking about the akhirah, the hereafter. Yani while the dunya is in front of us, so near and so close, and in our mind so real, but the akhirah is far away. And that is the trap of shaitan, that a person wants that which is near, that appears to be near, and it seems like it's real. But in reality, the real life is the Akhirah. If you only knew. The Shaykh, he says, remembering the hereafter, and remembering the wuquf, the standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reflect and contemplate on the first thing that the Muslim begins with from the actions of his pilgrimage. At the time when he is removing, يعني يتجرد من زينته ولباسه والحية التي اعتاد عليها. يعني a person is removing their normal clothing and dress and changing their complete outward appearance that they are accustomed to, that they are used to. Yani the first thing that the Muslim does from the acts of Hajj is when they reach the Miqat, they remove their normal clothing. Can't wear your cap, your hat, your brim, whatever that stuff that we was wearing, all that has to go. وَكُلُّ حَاجٍ قَدْ اِعْتَادَ فِي بَلَدِهِ عَلَى النَّوْمِ مِنَ اللِّبَاسِ. Every person, every pilgrim have become accustomed in their country to a certain type of dress. All different people from different countries, if you see them in their dress, you know that these people are from Malaysia, these people are from Nigeria, these people are from wherever, China. You can see it's clear. It's clear, distinct. The clothing of the people. But when you enter ihram, khalas, all that's gone. And the people's faces may still, and they give you a hint, right? Where they're from. Allah is stripping us of these things that separate us so that we can be united as one ummah. Yani, one brotherhood based upon the deen. Every pilgrim, yani, has become accustomed in his land to a certain type of clothing. So you find all of the people, when they reach the miqat is what? What is the miqat? What boundaries? There are time boundaries and land boundaries. We're talking here about land boundaries. Yani, the places when a person is going for Hajj or Umrah, they're not supposed to cross that place unless they enter the state of ihram. Yani, they change their clothing and put on the ihram and make intention and recite, yani, the talbiyah. When the people reach the miqat, whichever one they're crossing, then they remove al-makhit. Al-makhit, yani, this is, yani, for people making Hajj, just quickly, very quick note, a lot of times people say, they translate makhit as, yani, something that has stitches in it, literally. But that's not what the meaning. It means that which is sewn to fit the parts of the body. Yani, like shirt sleeves and pants legs. Because there may be something that you have that's sewn. Yani, maybe it needs to be stitched. There's no problem. Makhit doesn't mean that something has stitches in it, that is sewn and therefore you can't wear. It means that which is sewn to fit the parts of the body. You can't wear a shirt with a hood, or sleeves, or pants legs. This is what the meaning of makhit is. So the people, yani, when they reach the miqat, they remove all of this type of clothing, shirt and pants and jackets and hoods and such. وَاغْتَسَلُوا وَتَطَيِّبُوا And then they take a bath. And then they use some sweet smelling scent before they enter into ihram in this process. Then they, all of them, wear the izar and the rida, two clean white cloths, yani lower garment and upper garment. With the izar, they wrap it around the lower part of their body. And the rida, they put it over their shoulders. Yani, piece of cloth put over the shoulders, covering the upper part of the body. And in this, hay'a, yani, with this, humble, mutawadi'a, humble, outward appearance, with this, yani, description, in which all of the people are equal. Al-ghani wal-faqir, the rich and the poor, wearing the same clothing. No doubt, somebody's izar and rida might cost $10 and another one might cost $50. That's possible. But as far as what we can see, it all looks the same. The rich and the poor, the ra'is and the mar'us, the one who's the head of the people and the one who is underneath the authority, the amir and the ma'amur, the one who has authority or command and those who are under his command, as-saghir wal-kabir, the young and the old, all of them are equal in this. All of them are wearing the same two, inshallah, clean white pieces of cloth. One for the lower part of the body, one for the upper part of the body. And this outward appearance, which all the people are equal in it at the time when they're heading towards the Baytullah, also, they are also equal in this at the time of their mughadarati, hadihi al-hayat. Yani, the people going to Hajj or Umrah, entering the state of ihram, are equal in the clothing that they're wearing, just two pieces of cloth, with no underwear, no undershirt, nothing. No, what them rags they wear on your head, what do they call that? Do-rag. None of that. Just two pieces of cloth, upper and lower, that's it. Everybody's equal with that. Everything else has to go. And likewise, in a similar fashion, everyone is equal at the time of leaving this life. And it's the time of death. Wrapped in a shroud, right? No suit and tie. No watch and gold rings. Well, men are not supposed to be wearing gold rings anyway, right? Naam. Have you not seen every person when they die? مَا الَّذِي يَكُونُ مَاهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا What will they take with them from the world? What is it that will enter with them into their grave? Nothing will enter their grave with them except some pieces of fabric that is wrapped around their body. And they are prayed over. Yani, others are praying over them after they have been washed by others. And in reference, yani, I just want to say, yani, because it's really on my mind, that yani, when a Muslim dies, if they die upon Islam, this is not a disaster, a calamity. If a person died on Islam, this is an honor. Rather, those who died on Islam are in a better position than we are, because we don't know what our condition will be. So we should be yani, happy for them that they have been washed and shrouded and prayed over, and then they are lowered into the grave. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ, and in some of the narrations, يَحْشُرُ اللَّهُ الْعِبَادِ, and it's the same meaning. يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أُرَاتًا غُرْلًا بُهْمًا, yani that the people or the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be gathered on the day of resurrection naked with no clothing, uncircumcised, and buhman. We said, yani they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wama buhman, what is this buhman? Yani they know what uratan, ghurlan, they know what this was, but what is buhman? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, laysa ma'ahum shay'un, laysa ma'ahum shay'un, yani on yawm al-qiyamah, when the people are gathered, nobody will have anything with them, not the kings, the rulers, the presidents, the rich, nobody will have anything with them. La zira'a, yani not that which, the agriculture, wealth that they had, nor tijara, or from trading, nor any type of wealth, nor their riasa, their leadership, or being the heads of people, or other than that. None of this will be with them on that day. فَلِبَاسُ الْإِحْرَامُ يُذَكِّرُ بِلِبَاسِ الْكَفَنِ. So the clothing of ihram, the two cloths of ihram, yani this simple condition of a person being covered with just two pieces of cloth and nothing else, this reminds us of the shroud that the dead person is buried in. The Shaykh, he says, وَالْوُقُوفُ عَلَى سَعِيدِ عَرَفَاتِ يُذَكِّرُ بِالْوُقُوفِ بَيْنِ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And indeed, the standing on the plains of Arafat, it reminds us of the standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of resurrection. Yani the people of all nations standing in one place on Arafat, in this condition, yani of being wrapped in two pieces of cloth without anything else. This condition of the people on Arafat, it reminds us of that standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla that will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah. It is a great reminder. And if a person doesn't go to Hajj, still we have to reflect on this, that indeed we will be standing before Allah. Reflect upon the gathering of the khalaik, of all the people in the earth, from every part of the dunya, standing in one place at one time. And who is the one who gathered them for this gathering? Indeed, it is the Rabbul Alameen, the one who brings together Al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, the first and the last of the people, in one plane, in the Ard al-Mahshar, the place of gathering, where all the people will be gathered for judgment on the day of resurrection. He will bring all of the people together, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the first of them to the last of them, from those who died from burning in a fire, from those who were eaten by a wild beast and then came out of that animal just as waste when the animal relieves itself, from those who were buried and lost in the earth, meaning yani disintegrated in the earth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Tusajda, 32nd Surah, 10th ayat, وَقَالُوا وَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. And they said, if we are lost in the earth, yani that we are buried and our bodies are disintegrated into the earth, أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, is it so that we will be brought about as a new creation, yani we will be brought back to life, recreated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows this question of them by saying, بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. This is not a question that they are asking like we just want to know. Rather, it is a question of rejection, that they don't believe. Yani when we are disintegrated in the earth, we will be brought back to life again. Allah says, this question doesn't require an answer, because they are not asking a question. Rather, they are expressing their disbelief in the reality of resurrection. So Allah says, بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. Rather, indeed, they are merely disbelievers in the meeting with their Rabb. All of these people, yani all people that will be gathered together, they will be gathered by the Rabb al-Alameen. فَوُقُوفُكَ بِعَرَفَةٍ. So you're standing, yani the pilgrims, when they go for Hajj in the next few days, so you're standing at Arafat. It is a reminder of the greatest standing, الموقف الأعظم بين يدي الله سبحانه وتعالى يوم القيامة. Yani the standing on Arafat, whoever has been to Hajj, if they did take the time to look across the plains of Arafat and see the multitudes of people, hundreds of thousands and millions of people standing in Arafat, indeed this is a reminder of what, yani the closest that we can imagine that will be like, how it's going to be on the place of the Mahshar on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah will gather all of humanity from the first until the last of them. And it has been confirmed in the Musnad, yani the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and the isnad of this hadith has some weakness, but yani it is sahih li ghayrihi, yani it is considered to be authentic due to other narrations that support it and raise its level of authenticity to being sahih. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, that the Prophet ﷺ said to the people, قبل غروب الشمس, yani just before the setting of the sun on the day of Arafat, yani when the sun is about to set, and he was standing, that is the Prophet ﷺ was standing at Arafat, and he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ فِي مَا مَضَى مِنْهَا إِلَّا كَمَا بَقِيَ مِن يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي مَا مَضَى مِنْهُ. He said, O people, indeed, there doesn't remain from this your dunya, the life in this world, there's not much remaining of the life in this world in comparison to what has already passed. Yani the centuries and ages of people of the past, what remains at this time is not any more than what remains from this day of yours, yani the day of Arafat. What remains from that day at the approach of sunset is what? Moments. Moments. In comparison to what has already passed of that day, very little is remaining, and likewise, very little is remaining from the life of this dunya. And this hadith indicates the, yani, qasr al-dunya, how short is the life in this world. وَصُرَةُ زَوَالِهَا, and how quickly it will dissipate and disappear. And it is a warning from being deceived by the life in this world that people give their lives to achieve something of the dunya, when this life is fleeting. It is fleeting. It is not really worth anything in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be deceived by it. The Shaykh said, Al-Hujjaj, the pilgrims, they are standing in this plain of Arafat, and every one of them is hoping that his neck will be freed from the fire, meaning that Allah will grant him salvation from the hellfire on that day of Arafat. And indeed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةً. That there is no day in which more of the slaves are freed from the hellfire by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than on the day of Arafat. And this indicates the excellence of the day of Arafat. And it also indicates that people should have hope on that day of their dua being accepted and that their sins will be forgiven.
فأكثر يوم لله فيه عتقاء من النار هو يوم عرفة. يعني the day in which more people are freed from the hellfire is the day of Arafat. And for this reason, it is incumbent that a Muslim have their greatest ambition should, yani their ambition on this day should be strong and firm, having hope and expectation and anticipation that they will be freed from the hellfire. And that they will leave from this land, yani the plains of Arafat, in a condition in which their necks have been freed from the hellfire. And then the Shaykh supplicated, O Allah, free our necks from the hellfire, and our fathers, and our offspring, and our spouses, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Naam. So the Hajj, فِيهِ مَشَاهِدْ عَظِيمًا وَفِيهِ مَوَاقِفْ جَلِيلًا تُذَكِّرُ الْإِنسَانِ بِالْبَعْثِ وَالْجَزَاءِ وَالْحِسَابِ وَالْوُقُوفِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ Subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah. Yani that there are many rites and sites and events that are taking place during the Hajj which remind the human being of the resurrection and the compensation, the being rewarded and the accounting and the standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on yawm al-qiyamah. Yani there are many events during the Hajj that remind us of the reality of resurrection and accountability of the people and the reward, the compensation that one will receive, yani good for good and yani its opposite for evil. For this reason, reflect, O pilgrim whom Allah has given success to, meaning the one that Allah guided to come to the pilgrimage and to be attentive in trying to perform it properly, according to the sunnah, with sincerity for the sake of Allah alone. This is the one who has been given tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, reflect upon the ayat of Hajj in Surah Al-Baqarah, what these ayats have been closed with. Yani, what is the ending of the ayats of Hajj in Surah Al-Baqarah? He said, it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the 203rd ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. That whoever hastens in 2 days, there's no blame on him. And whoever stays behind, then there's no blame on him. Meaning that in the Hajj, in the days of Tashriq, and after stoning on the 10th, then there's stoning on the 11th and the 12th. That's 2 days. And there's also stoning on the 13th. So Allah is referring to this here, these days of Tashriq and the stoning of the people on the 11th, 12th and 13th. Whoever hastens and only stones for 2 days on the 11th and 12th, there's no blame on them. And whoever stays behind, yani meaning for the third day, then there's no blame on them, لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. With the condition of what? There's no blame on these and there's no blame on these if they have observed taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the performance of their Hajj. Meaning that a person, if they stoned on the 11th and 12th, they may leave. They may leave. Khalas, they're finished. As long as they leave before, huh? Before Maghrib. But if they remain after Maghrib, then they have to spend the night and stone the next day after Dhuhr, after Zawal, and then they may leave. Naam. And what is better? Both of them, there's no blame on their fear Allah. But what is better is what? More ibadah, naam, and following the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed for all of those days. So there is no blame on them as long as they observe taqwa of Allah. And then Allah says, and this is the command, wattaqullah wa'alamu annakum ilayhi tuhsharun. So observe taqwa of Allah, and this is also a command, wa'alamu, and know, meaning that Allah is commanding us that you must know that indeed to Him you will be gathered, yani for accounting. This is a matter that you should take with you. If you complete your pilgrimage, you should return to your land while this matter is with you. This amr is with you. What? وَعَلَمُ أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Know that you are going to return to your Rabb for al-hisab and al-jaza. The Shaykh says, he repeats it, so fear Allah and know that to Him you are going to return. And this is because the pilgrimage reminds one of the hashar, the gathering, and the jaza, the rewarding, and the hisab, and the accounting. So observe taqwa of Allah, O one who has gone for the pilgrimage to the house of Allah. And remember that you will be gathered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to account, and He will reward you for that which you have sent forward in this life. And here I just want to remind us of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, "Ma minkum min ahadin illa sayukallimuhu Allah yawm al-qiyamah laysa baynahu wa baynahu tarjuman." That there is no one of you except, meaning that every one of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to you on the day of resurrection. And there won't be anyone between him, yani between that one and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a translator. There will be no translator, yani it will be direct. فَيَنْظُرَ يعني أَيْمَانَهُ. He will look to his right. وَمَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. And he will not see that except that which he has sent ahead. And he will look to his left, and he will not see except that which he has sent ahead. يعني of good deeds or bad deeds. And he will look in front of him, and he will not see إِلَّا النَّارْ تِلْكَ وَجْهَهُ فَاتَّقُ النَّارْ وَلَوْ بِشِكِّ تَمَّ وَلَوْ بِكَلِمَ طَيِّبَ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, on that day of accounting, that is sure. Remember that we will be called to account, and we'll be alone, and Allah will speak to us, and we will not see on our right except the deeds, that good deeds that we have sent ahead, and we will not see on our left except the evil deeds that we have sent ahead, and we will not see in front of us except the fire in front of our face. So fear Allah. Even if it is just a half of a date in charity, even if it's just a good word, a kind word. Indeed, we will not see anything except that what we have sent ahead while we were in this world. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ هَذِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرَةٌ وَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةِ مُقْبِلَةٌ وَأَنَّ كُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونًا. And the Shaykh, he is giving the meaning of the athar from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, in which he said that the dunya is going away. ارتحلت الدنيا. Huh? The dunya is going away. يعني مُدْبِرَةً, turning its back, going away backwards. And ارتحلت الآخرة, and the akhirah is also coming, yani مُقْبِلَةً, coming forward towards you. And لِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهُمَا بَنُونَ. And every one of them, the dunya has children, and the akhirah has children. And then the Shaykh, he said, yani the saying of Ali, and the whole of it is the saying of Ali رضي الله عنه, فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءَ الْآخِرَةِ. So I order you to be from the children of the akhirah, yani the people who are attached to the next life, the hereafter. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't be from the children of the world, the people who are attached to the dunya. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمْ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. نعم نعم. Ya Khalid, we need some batteries here. Are there some batteries here? Are there some batteries? No, there's some here. If they're working, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. They're working. So, naam. So the end of his saying, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمْ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. يعني be from the children of the hereafter, and don't be from the children of the dunya. For indeed, الْيَوْمْ, يعني today, the life in this world, is عَمَلٌ, is the time for doing deeds. وَلَا حِسَابٌ. But there's no accountability yet. وَغَدًا, يعني in the next life, there's what? حِسَاب وَلَا عَمَل. يعني there will be accountability, no chance to do any good deeds. Now is the time to do it. This athar from Ali radiallahu anhu has been reported by Al-Bukhari في ترجمة الباب, in the, يعني in the titling
of a chapter, the chapter which he entitled Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha waltanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin wattaqullaha. Yani, O people, O you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah, and let every nafs look to, consider, think about what it has sent ahead for tomorrow. Huh? Indeed, tomorrow there's hisab wala amal. Al yawm amalun wala hisab. Now is the time to do deeds. Even though the accountability, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming in the next life. But tomorrow, on that day, there's hisab, accountability, and there's no chance to do deeds. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلًا تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before account is taking of you. Take account of yourselves today while you have a chance to correct and rectify and improve and make up for shortcomings and wrongdoings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. Yani, the disbelievers and the wrongdoers, they didn't used to have hope of an accounting. They didn't consider, think about, or believe that there's accounting. And Allah went on to say, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. But everything Allah has taken account of, and it is written. So if the abd, إِذَا كَانَ الْعَبْدِ عَلَى هَذَا الْعِلْمِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْيَقِينِ. If a person it has this knowledge, and this iman, and this certainty, بِأَنَّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ يُحْشَرُ, that he would definitely be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ عَمَلَهُ هَذَا وَيَقِينُهُ يَكُونُ مَعُونَةً لَهُ فِي صَلَاحِ عَمَلِهِ وَتَحَيُّ لِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. And if the person who knows and is certain and has iman, believing with certainty in the gathering and the accounting with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this knowledge and this certainty will be a help, an aid for that person in correcting and fixing their deeds and preparing for that day of accounting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, during the ayat of Hajj, yani in the course of the ayat of Hajj, he said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And yani, make, gather some provisions, تَزَوَّدُوا, gather provisions, yani for the journey. Huh? And he's talking about the people who went for pilgrimage, that they should take provisions, food and drink and money and stuff to take care of themselves, so when they get to the pilgrimage, they're not begging people. تَزَوَّدُوا, make sure you have provisions. And then Allah said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Now he switched it to what? The best of provisions. Yani, that's the necessity. But what's more important than that is the provision of taqwa. That a person provides provisions for the journey to the hereafter and the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accounting. And have fear of me, O yani ulul albab, yani the people who have minds, who have intellect, who have understanding, basira and aql. Yani, observe taqwa of Allah. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 197th ayah. So the Shaykh says, the person who is certain about the gathering and the rewarding and the accounting, then this certainty will help that person to rectify and to correct and to fix their deeds. And then he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Tur, 52nd surah, 26th, and then 27th ayah, إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. Indeed, we were amongst our families, meaning in the world, مُشْفِقِينَ, in fear. Yani, the Shaykh said the meaning here is what? أي مُشْفِقِينَ مِنَ الْبَحْثِ وَالْحَشَرِ وَالْجَزَاءِ وَالْوُقُوفِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That the people were in fear of this resurrection and this gathering and rewarding and standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this fear made us, yani they are saying, we were in fear, and this fear made us na'amal bita'ati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It made us to act upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if a person doesn't have that, they will not be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will do what they want to do, as we see in the world today, even amongst the Muslims. Every type of disobedience, and that which
earns the displeasure of Allah because they don't have fear of this hashar and jaza and wuquf bayna yaday Allah. We are not worried about this. And then he says, and the following ayat, that they was like the meaning of it is فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. So Allah gave His favor to us, وَوَقَانَ عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ, and He protected us from the punishment of the fire. And because we have fear of Allah, which caused us to act upon obedience to Allah and avoid His disobedience, to seeking the pleasure of Allah and avoiding that which is displeasing to Allah. And this is like what we have to deal with every day. And a Muslim has to be conscious of this, and reading the Quran, and reading the Hadith, and these kind of things, yani these topics, yani when the scholars discuss these topics, it has to be a reminder to us to make us to act differently. So whoever is given his book in his right hand, then he will say on Yawm Qiyamah, from Surah Al-Haqqa, 69th Surah, 20th Ayah, إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيا, that I used to think, yani ظن here is not like you think, yani maybe I'm not sure. No, it means certainty. They used to know with certainty. إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيا, I used to know for certain that I'm going to meet my accounting. نعم أي كنت في الدنيا أعتقد أن هناك بعثا وحسابا وحشرا على يقين من ذلك فكنت أهيئ لهذا اليوم عدتا. يعني so that a person when they were in the world when they were in the world والله مستعان, they used to believe, يعني their عقيدة, it was their عقيدة, but it was an عقيدة that's realized. Yani it's not the aqeedah that we believe that there's a day of judgment, but every day we're doing the things that on the day of judgment will be against us. No, this i'tiqad is in the heart, firmly planted, that a person really believes with certainty that we are going to be resurrected, that we are going to be gathered, that we will be called to account, and that we will be rewarded or punished. And this is what caused the person to act upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe that there is resurrection and accounting and gathering with certainty, and therefore they prepared themselves for this day. Okay, please pardon me today. Yani, we have one more topic, but yani, it's late now. And I really felt a need to complete this second topic tonight, but it's late, and you know I'm also exhausted, and so on. So please excuse me for today. The questions that came in the study guide for the remaining point, yani questions after, you know, questions 7, 8, 9, and 10. Inshallah, we'll hold them to next week. Inshallah, and we'll stop here. If there's any question about what we discussed tonight, take a few minutes, and then yani, we can stop here. Any question about what we discussed tonight? Tayyib, alhamdulillah.
Small question. Easy question.
Tayyib, fadl.
About being today, a person can't wear underwear?
No. Yani, he's saying that if a person is in ihram, can they wear underwear? No. Yani, the person in ihram has two sheets to wrap the upper part of the body and the lower part of the body, and that's it. Yani no undershirt, no underpants, no socks, nothing. Naam. Alhamdulillah, and before you go for Hajj, then somebody is going to help you to learn how to tie the izar so that it won't fall down. Naam. Free school supply? At 2 o'clock. Tomorrow, the masjid on Van Wyck is going to have free school supplies at 2 o'clock. First come, first serve.
First come, first serve. For those who
need. Yani for those who need. If a person doesn't need, don't take from that and the people who need. Now. Huh? I don't know, I have to ask the imam. Okay, so brothers and sisters, inshallah, we're going to stop here.
And I just want to remind you that next week, inshallah, we'll cover the topic, the remaining topic from tonight, and the questions, whatever we can take from what follows it. And perhaps next week or the following week will be the last class for this book. And then, inshallah, and it will be dealing with a different topic after Hajj, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And I remind myself first, and each of us, that indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us in so many places in the Quran, that there will be people, and He calls them in one ayat, the mujrimeen, that they will stand before Allah with their heads hanging. And they will say to Allah that now we have seen, and now we have heard, so return us, so that we may do good deeds. Now it has become certain to us. And for us, it should already be certain. And we don't have to see the hellfire or the punishment in the grave and hear the crying and screaming of the punishment in the grave before we realize the reality of it. Rather, it should be something that a person who believes that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, kalamullah, ghayr makhluq, whoever believes that, when they read the Qur'an, then we know for sure this reality. And therefore, and he don't say, if you send us back, then we will do na'mal salihah. La, we will do it now. If we don't do it now, it will not be done. Because al-yawm, indeed al-yawm, is amalun. Wala hisab, wa ghadan, hisab, wala amal. Na'am. Okay, there's a prediction of an eclipse or something. When?
Monday.
Okay, he's saying that. I don't know anything about it. Naam. So, if there is an eclipse, and if it's actually an eclipse that's seen, it actually occurs, then the people should pray the prayer for the eclipse. Naam. But if it's just predicted, but we didn't see anything, then there's no prayer for just a prediction. And it should be witnessed. And if it's witnessed, then people should pray. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.